Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry and Robin's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Terry and Robin. Listening to Terry's and Robin's Power Hour. This is Reverend Terry Power, and I am joined tonight, as most nights, by my love, my lady, my partner, my bestest friend, my wife. Hey, Robin.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm all right. It's been a beautiful day, actually. I mean, we had a little rain during the day, but we had some beautiful sunshine today and warm. It was warm today. I didn't even wear a jacket today. I'm so done with cold. I am so done with cold. So anyway, doing generally pretty well. Been working and discussing vendors and presenters for Ishtar Fest and a Sumer Fair, and getting kind of excited about that. That is going to be such a blast. Of course, we'll talk about it at the end of the show, but, been working on it this afternoon, so I'm kind of, it's in my mind, and I'm excited, and, looking forward to, walk like a Sumerian or whatever. It's going to be fun, all in all, not a horrible day. How about you over there?
Pretty much the same. I had a good day.
Okay.
The usual, work. Came home, made some dinner.
Yeah. All the children on the mountain. Okay. All right, so also excited about tonight's show, and of course the title we put out was The Awakened Maiden, the Lover, and Beltane. And, really tonight is talking about, Beltane and fertility, I guess really are the two words that come to mind. And how the lover aspect of the god and the awakened maiden aspect of the goddess kind of, are all about fertility and love and, Beltane. So I'm going to let you start off with your thoughts, and I will jump in as... as we get to points where I have things to add.
One of the things that you and I had spoken about is there's this sort of transitional time that very few people talk about in regards to the turning of the year here. You know, the maiden, the mother, and the crone, right? So at some point, there is a time in every woman's life where she turns from being the chaste maiden to the curious, if you will, maiden, the awakened maiden, the I'm now more conscious about my sexuality maiden, and then you eventually make the crossover to becoming, you know, into womanhood and becoming a mother. And so this is sort of a representation of that time in a woman's life where you're right now she's becoming the curious maiden, if you will, and she will, you know, be brought into motherhood at Beltane or into womanhood at Beltane. And so, you know, it's kind of a milestone in every woman's life. You know, you always think about, you know, where was I, you know, when I made that transition? Who was it with? What was I doing? How did it happen? And so that's really sort of what we're celebrating when we're celebrating this holiday. It's not just about fertility, but in many ways it's about that transition in a woman's life, no matter what age it happens at. But it's about that time, that transition. I mean, you can be 35 or you could be, you know, 18. You know, it's going to be different for everybody. So it's about that transition time in a woman's life.
Right, the awakening of sexuality.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I find it interesting that you and I have this. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and for every woman, it happens at a different time in life and comes with a different set of rules, because every woman has their own way of that they go about this. And that's really what we're celebrating, is that transition from the chaste maiden into womanhood. And that's where right now, as we speak, as we're approaching into Beltane, that's right where the goddess energy is right now. It's a great time of year if, you know, you have maybe a daughter going through that, or you're going through it yourself, or you have a daughter who's way too young to go through that, but to maybe you can see that it's going to be coming in the next few years. You know, maybe this is a great time to sit down and have a conversation or discuss this time of year from that perspective, and the goddess is going through that, you know, from that perspective with that child, you know, or not. That's up to you. You're the parent. But I just think that, you know, it's really important for us to recognize that this is really a celebration of that milestone in your life, in that change from maidenhood to womanhood.
Right. Well, I always found it interesting, and you and I have discussed this, that, you know, with the god archetypes, and you know, we have the hero, the lover, the father, and the, you know, sage or king.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those four aspects of life are dealt with, and that time between little boy and accepting the responsibility of fatherhood is...
Mm-hmm.
is recognized with the god archetypes. The lover,
mm-hmm.
you know, aspect is recognized, but there is nothing talked about. It's just maiden, then mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that in-between stage, that no longer a little girl, not ready to be a mother, but that young woman, if you will, is not really talked about. And I think that's what you refer to, or as I understand your reference to, the awakened maiden, filling
yes.
that, you know, you've got the virgin maiden, the little girl, you've got the awakened maiden, the, you know,
the
fully awakened young lady or young woman, which
mm-hmm.
corresponds to the lover. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and in both these cases, it's not purely the sexual, although that is an aspect of it. But the, you know, when we talk to our young men, the lover isn't just, you know, a satyr chasing the nymphs through the woods with no consequences. It is all about that connection, that intimacy, not just physical but emotional, and that learning to connect with another person and to love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's so much a part of this this time in a person's life, this energy, both for the awakened maiden and for the lover.
Well,
in
a lot of ways, it's when we first learn to trust and be vulnerable and open our emotional self to another human being in that way, for the first time to anybody outside our blood-related family, really.
Right. No, absolutely, because that vulnerability is part of the lover as well as the awakened maiden.
Uh-huh.
This is all about learning to be the father or the mother. It's
mm-hmm.
the awakening of those energies, the beginning of that process of connecting and loving and trusting and being open and vulnerable. All of this
mm-hmm.
in preparation, in training, really, for accepting responsibilities of, you know, the father and the mother, and, you know, the protector, the nurturer, the, you know, all that goes into that. All of that is learned in this stage of life.
Yeah.
Or at least it's, you know, the beginnings of it is learned. You're never fully ready. You know,
right.
I mean, no matter how many books you read or how many people you talk to, you know,
mm-hmm.
a young man is never ready for, you know, to be handed that child and say, here's your child, you're a father now. And,
well, you know what?
You know,
I don't think
I doubt every woman is completely ready either.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think most women feel qualified for the job of motherhood either. It's one of the most common themes when I talk to other women who are moms. They're like, I don't know, I'm just feeling my way. I hope I'm doing a good job. I have no clue.
Because little creatures,
for every mother, there are things
manual.
Yeah, exactly. And for every mother, there are things that our parents did that we just don't want to perpetuate with our own children. And then there are those things you can't help but perpetuate. You know, it's that moment when you hear, my mother said this thing, and I'm never going to say this to my kids. And inevitably, you hear it coming out of your mouth, no matter how hard you tried not to say it, it comes out anyway. And all of a sudden, you're hit. Oh, my God, I'm my mother.
Heating the whole damn mountain. Close the door. I'm not heating the whole damn mountain. Like, oh,
exactly.
No, did I just say that?
Yeah.
You know, you open your mouth and your parents' voice falls out. And it's like, what
That's
was
it,
that?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So, returning to the theme of the awakened maiden and the lover and Beltane and all that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
This is just it's an exciting time of year, and that energy of awakening, that energy of excitement is all just filling the air. I mean, you can't go outside without a jacket for the first time and not feel nature waking up.
Well, it's also being played out in nature as well. I mean, this time of the year, many of the birds are returning to mate. Many of the animals are waking up from their winter hibernations, and one of the first things they do is, you know, food and water and company. And a mate, and they are, you know, looking for that. It was funny because this morning I was driving to work, and I was, you know, driving along the road, and I looked over in the field, and there were about three does and a buck, and the buck was chasing one of the does, and the other two were sort of standing there watching, like, what's going on? And, you know, of course, I'm driving by at, you know, 50 miles an hour, so it's just a glimpse of, but I knew exactly immediately what was going on. It's the spring. And, you know, the buck is feeling his oats, you know, chasing the ladies. So it's going on in nature. You know, and it also makes you think of that famous, in the Walt Disney movie Bambi, where, you know, the owl tells them that all the animals are twitter-pated, they're behaving funny. They're all in love. They're all seeking romance. They're Twitter-pated. And that is what is exactly happening in nature right now. I mean, even plants are reaching towards each other, trees, and the pollination is about to happen. And, you know, everything starts to want to reproduce. And that's what this is about.
Well, what is my favorite musical?
Camelot.
Camelot, of course. And is there a song in Camelot that makes you think of this time of year?
Off the top of my head, I don't recall.
When Guinevere sings Tra-La, it's May.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everyone has gone a-maying. And it's, you know, it's that kind of feeling, you know, tra-la, it's May, the lusty month of May. I can't help but get to this time of year and not hear that song.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, everybody, you were talking about all the animals are Twitter-pated. Well, that's, mm-hmm. you know, they're wrapped up in, you know, in May. It's that time of year when, you know, we're thinking about, you know, like you said, you know, love and romance and connecting and all of that
mm-hmm.
that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
It is that time of year. And that
yeah.
energy is all around us.
Yep. And we are, after all, animals. And all animals have an agrarian cycle. And, you know, it's just one of those things. And it seems to be, you know, as the days are now getting longer, again, it just seems to be one of those things that seems the sun, the longer sun, the longer days, the warmer days seems to trigger that. So we are not immune to those sort of signals from nature, at least not yet, thank the gods. And so all these things work on our bodies and on our psyche. And it is it's that time of year to be Twitter-pated. Just is.
Yeah. It
and
is.
So
I
it's
mean,
also reflected.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, so it's also reflected in our deity and how we relate to them at this time of year. And what we should be doing, again, is celebrating that transitional time from being the chaste maiden to the awakened maiden to the mother. And it's a big milestone in most women's lives.
No, absolutely. It's same for the young men. There's
mm-hmm.
that moment of awakening, that moment of consciousness of something is different now.
Mm-hmm.
And beginning to find their way toward manhood.
Yeah.
And, you know, ultimately toward fatherhood and accepting those. You know, learning the lessons, learning how. It's an exciting time, but it's also it's a curious time, but even in some ways a slightly scary kind of time. You know, what is happening to me? What is happening to the world around me? Everything is different, and it will always be different. Going forward. And it is probably that first real conscious transition in our lives where we realize that something is left behind in the process. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, probably the first of many initiations that life gives us.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about initiation when you're brought into an organization and there's some, you know, you're always different after that moment. But life gives us these kind of initiations. When you realize that you're not a little boy or a little girl anymore,
mm-hmm.
life is different. The world is different. That time from the moment that someone hands a man that child and says, you're a father. The world is altered. The world is irreparably different from that moment forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the same, I'm sure, with a woman who's now a mother. The world will never be the same.
Right.
And, you know, these are the passages that we need to recognize and honor, and the energies that we need to contemplate when we come into this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are your thoughts, suggestions? You mentioned talking with the young people. What are your mm-hmm. thoughts in that regard?
Well, you know, I will share my thoughts, but I will preface it by saying I am wholly aware that my feelings about this are not everyone's feelings, and I don't expect them to be. But this is from my perspective, and I have an 11-year-old daughter.
People are about to listen to us have this conversation about how we're going to deal with our little girl, and they can, you know, they're getting a chance to witness this and to hear our thoughts, but that doesn't mean that they have to agree or follow them.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just
exactly.
getting a peek inside our world.
Yeah.
So.
My daughter's 11, and so, you know, this is in the not too, you know, distant future. It's already beginning. You know, she wants to wear makeup to school, and some of her friends have crushes on boys, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so it's the very beginning of all that. And I've always been one of those moms who believes in telling their kids exactly what they need to know while it's age appropriate. So when she was 4 or 5 and she came to me and said, "Mommy, where do babies come from?" I looked at her and I said, "The daddy plants the seed inside the mommy, just like we plant a seed in the garden, and it grows." It was just as simple as that. And it made sense to her because she had planted seeds with me at that age, and she understood, and she never asked another question. At some point in the near future here, I'm sure she's going to want a better explanation than that. But for now, but it was completely honest. But it was within her realm of understanding. I can remember I was probably 9 or 10 or 11, somewhere in that neighborhood, when my mother, who was a nurse, got out these very technical pictures and started showing me things that I was like, "Ew, I'm never doing that. You're out of your mind." Well, you know, I have a daughter, so obviously I did. But... so I have always lived by that, you know, I don't want to pull any punches. I will tell her the truth. I will tell her, but age appropriately. And I think that there's nothing wrong with children knowing that they are in control of their bodies and that it's okay for them to have certain feelings and feel certain things. But how they react and how they behave in relationship to those things need to be kept in check by their age and by the truth of certain things. You know, years ago it was a very popular thing. Exactly. And having to think about your actions. You know, we like to think of things like, you know, if a girl says no, that means no. And it goes back to the same thing with just say no to drugs. Well, if anybody ever offers my kid something called a drug, I'm sure she'll say no. But the problem is she doesn't know what drugs are. So if somebody said to her, "Here, do you want to take this pill?" she'd probably equate it more to an aspirin, which mommy gives her, than a drug, because pills are medicine, like you just said. So you have to educate your children about exactly what we're talking about, because kids are extremely literal, right? So if somebody comes up to them and go, "Hey, you mm-hmm. want these drugs?" Well, nobody's going to do that. So anyway, that's another thing. But it's the same thing. It's the same concept with sexuality. You've got to say to your young child, you know, you have certain responsibilities that go along with this. And some of those responsibilities include these things. And for me, with my daughter, it is, do not put yourself in a situation in which you are out of control. So meaning, for example, don't be alone with a boy who's much older than you that you don't know exceedingly well. And even when you do know them well, it doesn't always guarantee your safety. Don't be at a disadvantage. Don't do something stupid. There was recently a case of a young lady who went out and got very inebriated at a party and was assaulted on the way home from the party by somebody who followed her from the party. So, you know, it's horrible that that young boy did that. I mean, and that is certainly wrong, and he should, you know, be punished for it. But if that young lady had been more conscious of what she was doing and getting drunk and leaving the party alone, and, you know, where she, maybe if she had given a little bit more forethought to, maybe I shouldn't have that fifth or sixth or seventh or whatever, however many, you know, drinks it was, or maybe I should call a friend or call my parents to come get me because, boy, I'm blotto. I'm not even capable of walking home. You've got to be safe, and you have to think in these contexts. And I don't think it's wrong to tell your kid, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you don't feel safe in some way or you don't feel confident to walk home or you've had more than this much to drink, set rules with your children. I mean, obviously my daughter's, you know, 11, so the alcohol won't be an issue for several years, but you've got to talk to kids about this stuff and prepare them from the very get-go. And I'm already telling her, no, you know, you can't go and go on the ATV up in the woods with the boy who lives around the corner, even though, you know, he's 16 and you're 11, but even though you've known him since, he's known you since you were born. You know, no, you can't do that anymore. You can't. Because a 16-year-old boy is going to want to do what a 16-year-old boy is going to want to do, and I can't do anything about that. The only thing I can do is tell my daughter to be responsible for her own being and where she puts herself. And yep. Some people I know are probably at home shaking their heads and going, no, that's not right. Boys have to be taught to respect no means no, which is great, but I'm not going to guarantee, I'm not going to bet my daughter's life on some boy agreeing to no means no. And I think it was one of the worst things we ever put in young girls' heads was to take away the responsibility for their own well-being and safety from their hands and put it in a boy's hand, because that's what you're doing. When you're saying, oh, the boy will be, if you say no, the boy will stop. Well, that's not always the case, and we know that.
Right. Now, we should be teaching our young men that as well.
We should be.
But we can't guarantee that every child with every young man was taught by one of us.
Exactly.
We've got to.
And once they get a little older and you start adding in, you know, mind-altering substances, alcohol, marijuana, whatever, you know, they're not always going to maybe follow their best instincts or behave in their best way. And we shouldn't be excusing that because they were drunk. Absolutely not. But what we should be doing is, on the flip side of that, is teaching young ladies not to put themselves in those types of dangerous positions. I mean, I often think there was a very famous rape case years ago, you know, Mike Tyson and this young lady who was in the beauty pageant. So the way it went was, if you can do the research and find out, this woman had met him during the pageant lineup in the afternoon during the swimsuit competition. He had come and basically eyeballed all the girls, and it was, you know, kind of cute, and he signed some autographs and, you know, a photo op. And then at midnight of that night, Mike Tyson calls her hotel room unbidden and says, hey, you want to go on a date? I'll come pick you up at midnight. So this girl gets in a car at midnight with Mike Tyson, whom she knows nothing about other than that she met him that afternoon for 10 minutes, and then is surprised when he expects her to go back to his hotel room. She goes up to his hotel room with him. Mike Tyson, who is at this time in his life the most dangerous human being I could ever imagine being close to. I mean, the guy used to knock other fighters out in 30 seconds, in the first 30 seconds of a fight, and goes up to his hotel room and then is surprised by what happens. I'm not saying that it was right, you know, that he, what he did. It's not. It's absolutely atrocious. But what I'm saying is, if she had said, no, I don't think so, Mr. Tyson, I'm very flattered, perhaps tomorrow evening you could take me to dinner, you know, instead of a booty call at midnight, then perhaps it wouldn't have gone that way. And, you know, you've got to be conscious of what you are doing with your body and with your person and with your safety. And we don't teach women that enough. I mean, as I said, I think the no means no. If you tell a boy no, is a disservice to your child. And I don't understand why anybody would embrace that. Do I think that young men should be taught to respect women? I absolutely do. But unfortunately,
And that goes back to my favorite conversation about the lack of positive male role models.
Yeah.
And the absolute destruction of positive role models in the media, and you know, we don't hold up positive male role models as heroes, as someone to be, you know, to be celebrated. We hold up, you know, athletes and rock stars and rap artists as this is the, you know, this is the pinnacle of male achievement. And, you know, we don't look at, you know, military heroes anymore, or, you know, good men in business and, you know, wonderful kind of images. You know, every male on TV just, you know, almost, you know, there's a few exceptions lately, but almost every male on TV is, you know, bumbling, or he's some macho archetype that's not really a man. It's this caricature of manhood. And we present this to young boys, and, you know, then we expect that they're going to grow up to be good men, and we're not teaching them.
Yeah.
And it's a disservice to society, to men as well as to women, that we are not raising good men. We're turning them over to the TV and giving them garbage. Anyway, we are at the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
So let's take a short break. I've got a song by Jenna Green called Beltane. And I thought it would be nice to hear her voice and share this song and an ad and a couple of things. And we'll be back here in just a few minutes. Everybody stick around. Jenna Green, Beltane.
tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha De Yah, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it, we accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to The Power Hours with Terry and Robin. Hi, Robin. How are you doing over there?
I'm doing really well.
Yeah, great song. Boy, I love Jenna Green's voice. Just
yeah.
So amazing. And, of course, you know, thank our friends over at International Pagan Radio for replaying our Tuesday night shows on Thursdays. And, of course, we give them an ad space here to kind of take care of each other. So you can always listen in on International Pagan Radio on Thursdays and hear a replay of this song, of this show. So before the break, I had just stepped up onto my favorite soapbox. And I mean, it is. It's one of my favorite soapboxes, and anybody that's been around for any period of time has listened to me get on that soapbox. It's one of my pretty blue ones. I like it. I don't shy away from it. I've got some soapbox issues. This is a big one. And, you know, as we approach this time of year, you know, we're going to encounter, adults who are fully realized adults, perfectly capable of accepting the sexuality of the nature of this holiday, and embrace it in their own way. You know, I mean, people celebrate this holiday, fully realized adults celebrate this holiday in a variety of ways, and sexuality tends to be a part of that. That's cool. I'm on board with that. But we many of us have children who we're not prepared to, fully demonstrate that level of sexuality to them. So, we are looking for ways to bring them into Beltane, particularly the young men and young women who are now beginning to have these feelings and emotions and are not quite ready for the full adult behaviors. So, we need to take time, perhaps as one option would be for the men of the group to take the young men and have a conversation about responsibility and respect and the women mm-hmm. of the group take the young ladies and have the same conversation about respect and you know, guarding yourself and you know, all the possible consequences, and have that conversation on both sides. But let the men of the group deal with the young men, and the women of the group deal with the young ladies, young women.
Right.
And have these conversations. It doesn't have to be the, you know, the clinical flip charts that your mother used.
Right.
But just, you know, I mean, but having, you know, real conversation about what this time of life means. And the different feelings, and then listen and have the give, you know, have the young people have a chance to ask questions, because, you know, young men are not going to necessarily ask questions to older women. They're going to, you know, seek out the men. And if
right.
we give them that safe place to have these conversations, to ask these questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because the bodies are changing as well, you know. There's all of that that goes with it. And
yeah.
we need, as, particularly those of us that follow a nature-based path, we embrace the wheel of the year. We embrace the cycles within cycles within cycles, and recognizing that these young people need guidance. And they need good answers, not media answers, because damn.
Right.
You know, the media is going to give them, you know, fear and how to not be afraid. We need mm-hmm. to give straight answers about how to be responsible, respectful young people. And that's respect for others as well as respect for yourself.
Right, and as I was saying before,
always...
Because if you
don't have respect for yourself first, then
right.
none of the rest of it matters.
Yeah, and again, you know, all of this is age-appropriate. We are certainly not advocating that somebody, you know, talk to their 7-year-old about graphic, you know, descriptions. That's not what we're talking about. I think so that the conversation needs to begin. I think that the conversation needs to begin when they are young. And again, age appropriate, and then it brings them up thinking and knowing these things. You know, just, you know, you think about kids who grew up, you know, several hundred years ago, it was very farm oriented. They got to see what the animals did in the spring. So they kind of understood what that meant, and they understood the consequences because they would see the behavior and there would be babies. And so we've lost that. Kids aren't exposed to that so much anymore, and they don't draw
You're talking
on
my other favorite soapbox.
They don't draw the simile there, you know, that is what happens. So it's up to us as parents then to walk them through that transition period of understanding it. You know, look, here's the puppy or the kitten or the fish that reproduce, and you know, this is how it happens. And there's certainly nothing wrong with, you know, you've got fish in the fishbowl, and look, the mommy fish is laying eggs. Kids understand that. So I think that there's definitely a way to do it and have it in a positive light and have the conversation and start it on age-appropriate basis and bring them up
with
it.
Let me jump back in here. Yeah, let me jump back in here because I was actually talking in my comments about young people who are in this you know, this stage of life where these changes have begun or are, you know, fully manifest. I wasn't talking about, you know, having this conversation with 7-year-olds. You know, I thought that I was more clear, that I was certainly talking about young men and young ladies or young men and young women who are in that stage of life and dealing with those people, those young people that are, you know, experiencing these changes. If you've got younger children, and allowing them to ask questions. Certainly if you've got younger, much younger children, then you're going to have a completely different conversation. And that doesn't need to be separated, the men and the women, because that's just going to be what families do together. That could be something like you said, you know, oh, look, the mommy fish is laying eggs, or, you know, puppies or kittens, or even planting a fertility and abundance family garden and helping the thought process of planting seeds and things grow from that, you know, like you've already, you know, like you had already done with our young lady. So, you know, those sorts of activities at Beltane are perfectly appropriate to our faith, our expression of faith, and our understanding of the wheel of the year, and sharing it with the younger children in a way that is appropriate for those younger children. And, you know, certainly there's a difference between the little boys and little girls, the heroes and the maybes. There's a very big difference between the awakened, you know, between that age and the awakened maiden and the lover. So, you know, my comments were certainly directed toward the awakened maiden and the lover, and taking them separate from, you know, with the men taking the lover boys, you know. So, you know, I just wanted to, because the way you jumped into that was like I was, you know, not grasping that.
No, I just wanted to clarify in case people had just tuned in, and I just wanted to make sure they understood that. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, because certainly you would want to have different activities with the much younger children. And again, you know, you've already done this with our young lady, you know, planting seeds, and from the seeds something grows. Well, that helps the beginning of the understanding of there's some biological function here. And it's also a great way to honor fertility and honor the earth and honor, you know, our deities at Beltane.
Right.
You know, just planting a garden together as a family. What a great way to teach our kids.
Yeah. And one of the things that, you know, we need to stress is that this, again, goes back to our agrarian cycle. And in our spiritual path, those of us who consider ourselves pagan or Wiccan or anybody following a nature-based spirituality, we do not necessarily deny and or suppress our sexuality. It's not part of our spiritual path because we believe that it was given to us by deity, and it's something that should be celebrated. There are many spiritual paths in the world that part of their religious tradition is to separate themselves or suppress their more physical natures. And that's fine if that's something that people want to do and that attracts them, that's great. But for us,
but
on
we
this
don't
particular...
believe the body. We don't believe the body is dirty. We don't believe the body is something to be overcome, but something to be celebrated and embraced.
And I think that, you know, sometimes as adults we forget that there are, you know, very good reasons for these things. We are still animals. And it is part of our connection to the divine, that divine spark. The whole idea that you know, our sexuality is enjoyable and pleasurable, you know, really stems from the divine if you think about it. And so many cultures have recognized that and consider that state that we achieve to be, you know, as an ecstatic state. And so there are so many points of view here, you know, when you look at different spiritual traditions. But I have chosen one that opts to celebrate the body and the flesh and the physical and the sensual. And that's not bad. And people need to realize that we don't need to hide that from our children. So many of us struggle with that as adults because it was the way we were taught. You know, you don't talk about that at all. And, you know, oh, where did you come from? Well, the stork left you. Well, no, we've got to get past answers like that.
Well,
you know,
I know couples that won't kiss in front of their children.
Crazy.
You know? I mean, you know, you want children to see that you are happy and connected with your partners. than your partner, so that you see, you know, they see love and that
and a
makes
healthy
a connection
physical
with,
relationship and how it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that connects with a healthy relationship, as Robin just said. So
mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of people out there screaming and throwing things at their computers, and that's cool.
I'm sure.
you know, we look forward to your letters.
And you know, the beauty of this
at
gmail.com. The beauty of this is that not everybody has to agree with us. You know, I mean, this is my path. It's the way I walk my path. It's the way I live my life. If that doesn't appeal to you, I'm not telling you need to do it that way. Do what makes you happy. Do it your way. And I'm happy for you. As long as you don't come over here and tell me how I ought to live mine, we'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, we say all the time that we don't have anybody's answers.
Yep.
We have our own answers, and we have a lot of opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And if our opinions are meaningful to you, then cool, we've served you in some way. If our opinions have made you angry, then we've served you in helping you to, you know, think through your own thoughts. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so either way, you know, we hope that people leave this conversation tonight and go, It can be, That was interesting, or, I agree, or, I hate these people. Either way, as long as you're going, then we've done our job. And and that's really what we're here for, is to make people go, So with all of that said, thanks to all of our listeners and for everyone who shares these experiences with us in our weekly conversations about our opinions. And
hey, Terry.
Can I
say something? I think you told me that there was a specific person out there listening this evening that I wanted to say hi to.
Yes, and that particular person is still in the chat room.
Ah, well, if she's listening, Tammy, hi. Thank you so much for sharing some of your advice and your thoughts on your goats with me. I actually spoke with one of our listeners this week to get some advice on about getting goats, because she has a goat farm. So thank you so much for your generosity and with your time and your advice. It's so much appreciated. So I was excited to
Absolutely.
Hear that you were listening. So.
Yeah, and I appreciate all the information that you shared with Robin and she shared with me, and it's given us a lot to go about as well.
Exactly.
So, you have shared the and this is good. So, hey, you are so very welcome. So,
cool.
And an LOL apparently to my sharing the comment. So, my love, my darling, how does someone get in touch with us?
Ah, if you actually would like to get in touch with Terry or myself, you can email us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. You also could find us on Facebook. My personal Facebook page is Robin, middle initial A, McKean. Or you can find Terry at his Facebook page, which is Rev Terry Power HP. And you can also reach us at Little Stone Bridge Pathworking's Facebook page as well. So feel free to reach out to us somewhere. If you do opt to send us an email to that littlestonebridge@gmail.com email, please make sure you put something in the subject that will let us know why you're writing to us. Don't put something like "Hi Robin" or "Hi Terry." Let us know what you're sending to us. If our action is required, like there's a deadline of some sort that you wanted us to come to a workshop, put the deadline in the subject. Need to know by and the date, so that we can organize our email and look at it. We get lots and lots of email, and it just makes it so much easier for us to pick out the ones that we need to respond.
Yeah, and spammers know our first names as well. So
exactly.
Putting my first name or Robin's first name in the email in the subject line is not a guarantee that we're going to see it. So
right.
Put in there something like topic ideas or workshop or something that will clue us into the fact that you want us to come to your event, or
mm-hmm.
you want to give us an idea for a show. You want to tell us we're screaming idiots for our conversation tonight, whatever it is. Because we've got flame retardant software, so even flaming emails will not harm our computers. I know that there are times where people just think I'm off in my own world and I'm crazy, and some people think that I say stupid things, and that's okay because you're going so. We don't expect everyone to agree with us, so we take those emails as well. Also, if you want to get in touch with us, if you want to meet us in person, you can do this in a couple of ways. You can invite us to come to your event. You can hold a class and invite us to come speak. Or you can come to Ishtar Fest, the Sumer Fair, coming up on the 9th, 10th, and 11th of June, and meet us
yep.
in person. We will be there. We may or may not be presenting, depending on a couple of factors, but we will certainly be there, and we will be fully participating in Sumerian garb, and probably each of us will be playing the part of some Sumerian deity. And it's going to be cool because you get to come and meet, instead of meeting the king and queen and knights at a Ren Fair, you get to come to Sumeria and meet the Sumerian gods and goddesses. And it's going to be a blast. I'm just getting more and more excited about the whole thing. So
I am too. This is actually a really kind of a unique thing. People are going to be drawing down the gods and goddesses and walking around during the day as them. And I'm just so looking forward to seeing what happens. It should be interesting. It's the first time Hands of Change is doing this at their Ishtar Fest. And there's also a feast Saturday night, a Sumerian feast, which is included in the registration fee, which is going to be awesome. And there's ritual and drumming and workshops and vendors. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really, really looking forward to it. Hands of Change Coven has been around for over 20 years, and they're a great group of people working really hard at putting this on, and it's going to be on this beautiful private land in sort of central New Jersey, just off the Route 9 corridor, in the Freehold Marlboro area. So, anybody who wants to go and is interested, go to handsofchange.org website and look up, Festival of Ishtar, Sumer Fest.
There is an Ishtar Fest. Yeah, there's an Ishtar Fest link right there on the front page. I was looking at it earlier
yep.
today.
There you go, and that's all you have to do. The admission is incredibly reasonable for a whole weekend event with camping and the food, and I really would love to see some of our peeps there. It would be so much
fun.
Yeah,
we're going to be having fun. You might as well come out and join us and have some fun, too.
Absolutely.
So
and it's a family family-oriented event.
Yes, yes. There will be activities for the youngin.
Yep.
So, with all of that said, again, thanks to all of our listeners. Thank you for taking time out of your busy lives to share with us a little bit of your time. We're honored that you join us here every week. And final thoughts. Robin, what have you got?
Well, my final thoughts are just probably the two most important things that we discussed tonight is teaching our children to be responsible for themselves and where they put themselves. At this time of awakening, and just for us to remember as adults that's really what this time celebrates, is the transition from the chaste maiden to through the sexually awakened maiden to the mother. And it's a time in life that we can all identify with, whether we're, you know, 55 or 25 or 95. We've all been there. We've all gone through this sort of transition. And we need to honor that every year. The animals around us are going there and doing this, and they're being Twitter-pated. And just enjoy the energy and feed off of it. If you're somebody who, even if you're alone, even if, you know, you're not in a relationship or whatever, you still can be energized by spring. You know, they always talk about spring cleaning, and, you know, it's all about being energized and renewed by spring. And so take that to heart and take that positive energy forward and use it in your day and make your day better tomorrow. That's my final thought.
And, of course, my final thoughts, of course, is to remind everybody that while Robin is, you know, constantly talking about the awakened maiden, this applies equally to the young men who need to be taught, you know, not only to respect, and all the children, you know, all these young people need to be taught not just to respect and be responsible, or not only be responsible, but also to be respectful of themselves and of others.
Mm-hmm.
And when we teach them to respect themselves and to respect the people around them, then they will grow up to be better, younger, you know, better people as they grow older. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, every man listening can remember that time in life when, you know, all these changes are happening and our emotions are completely all over the charts. And, you know, this applies, you know, while the changes are the physical changes are, of course, unique for, you know, males and females, the overall experience is very similar as we learn to be young adults and learn about our place in society. Because that's a part of it as well, and we need to guide our young people to understanding their place in society as we usher them into adulthood. And with that, I believe it is simply time to wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.